Living Hope, a study of 1 Peter. This week we want to talk about hope for the future. Now I'm going to be reading from 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 1 through 5, but primarily we're going to focus on verse 4 and 5 this morning. So let's jump in this morning. I'm going to be reading from the New King James, but what we've done is I've done some ESV comparison in parentheses. So follow along with me. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims, or another way of saying it is elect exiles, of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again, or another way of saying it, think of it this way, caused us to be born again. Caused us to be born again to a living hope. This living hope that we have is something that we should be learning, walking in. It's a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's what makes Easter our Easter celebration, because of the resurrection. That's what separates Christianity, genuine Christianity, from the rest of religions of the world. Let's keep reading. Verse 4, to an inheritance. Please pay attention to some of these words. To an inheritance incorruptible. Another way of saying that is imperishable and undefiled, and that it does not fade away. Or you could use the word unfading. It's reserved in heaven for you. I love what it says. It's kept in heaven for you. It's reserved in heaven for you. Who are kept by the power of God. Another way of saying, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, I want to share a couple of stories with you this morning. I'm hoping that the storytelling will give you a connectivity with two of the words I'm going to mention to you in just a little bit. So let me tell you about a boy named CJ. He had been in foster care for 6 years, and it was apparent that those years had been traumatic. He was a young boy who was autistic. He'd endured severe abuse. If anyone raised their voices or moved into his personal space unexpectedly, he would cover his head and move to the floor. He could not communicate with words or with signs. CJ was a red-haired 8-year-old when D. Marks laid eyes on him. She was no stranger to adoption, as she had already adopted a daughter. And what got her attention is that she was told that CJ was considered unadoptable. The little boy with red hair was considered unadoptable, but it was due to his frequent and lengthy tantrums and several other undesirable behaviors for a child his age. CJ had severe behaviors like throwing tantrums for long periods of time, throwing up to escape doing any schoolwork, screaming, and running away. He had not been taught how to play with toys, to color, to feed himself appropriately, or use the restroom. At this point, he was 8 years old. Dee was prepared for a girl with disabilities, but a boy with autism was outside of her comfort level. Yet, she hated that phrase, unadoptable. Dee moved forward with the adoption. It took time and hard work, but CJ began to sense the safety, and he began to trust. CJ began to trust Dee and her daughter, realizing that they would not harm him regardless of his severe behaviors. The stability in the home was something that CJ had never experienced. He began to see and understand that he was loved, and in spite of his behaviors, he would not be sent away. He actually began to understand visual icons for his wants and needs, which gave him the ability to communicate for the very first time. CJ is now 14 years old. He talks all the time. He attends classes with his typical peers in middle school for 90% of the day. The other 10%, he works with an intervention specialist. He plays percussion in the school band, performs in the annual musical, runs track, and he's on the cross-country team. If you ask Dee, she would not want to mislead you. She would tell you that it has not been an easy road. It takes dedication and resolve to love in spite of how hard it can be. You cannot fix a disability, but it gives a child the opportunity to grow to their fullest potential. Dee says it's an indescribable feeling to watch your child surpass the expectations of doctors, educators, friends, and even family members. I hope that you'll see in just a little bit that I'm sharing this story with you because I believe that most of us here this morning will be able to see the connection in our own lives. So let's consider another story, something unexpected. What if a woman had a distant relative that she had never met, who had no children but was aware of the other woman's investment in adopting foster children? This particular relative was never able to have children of her own, so she included this woman and the two children in her will. The family was never aware of the relative or any possible inheritance. Lawyers had made all the arrangements, had given great care to cover every aspect of their lifestyle and the long-term care of every family member. Upon the death of the distant relative, the lawyer reaches out to the woman to inform her that she has just inherited $25 million in property and assets. Her life and the life of her children have now forever been changed. The two concepts, the two words I just want to drop out there this morning, I want you to think about for a little bit. Adoption and inheritance. Adoption and inheritance. And what we're going to see from the scripture is, unlike human history, that adoption and inheritance are simultaneous. They go together. Last week, Pastor Chris did a fabulous job. If you haven't listened to the message, I want to encourage you to go back. And he asked us to consider who is in control. And what we're doing in this series is we're working to help us realize that this living hope that we have in Jesus Christ makes a difference in why we do what we do. Why would we as human beings relinquish control to God? There are some very specific motivating reasons. I want to encourage you this morning with the concept of new birth and being born again, or being born of the Spirit. Now, you've heard, many of you have heard these terms used. So we talk about being born of the Spirit, being born again, the new birth experience. This was recorded in the Gospel of John as a dialogue between Nicodemus and Jesus. And then I want to just get you to focus that when we make a decision to believe and confess Jesus as the Son of the living God, what actually winds up taking place simultaneously, and I think that many of us, we kind of almost look at these as different concepts, but I want to tell you that if you have made the decision to confess Jesus as the Son of God, that you have believed that he came and lived and died for you and for the forgiveness of your sins, if you have stepped out and believed that, please hear me. You have been adopted. Being born again and adoption are a synonymous thing, and a lot of times we don't look at it through that lens, that if you have asked Christ to be your Savior, you have literally been adopted by Father God into a totally different family, but it's a spiritual family. It's something that's different than just the blood that runs through your veins with other family members that share the same bloodline. This is a spiritual family, and you have been adopted. So, what I want to do is read some verses from Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, the NIV. I want you to think about this. Listen to what the scripture says. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are sons, God sent his spirit, the spirit of his son, into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also a what? Heir. So if you're an heir, there is inheritance. So now, when we have made that decision to be born again, we have been adopted. And with that adoption, now we become heirs. And there is an inheritance. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17 in NIV. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. And please hear me. There's people that can hear my voice this morning, that your human religious experience has created this incredible amount of fear and torment. If you go back and look at 1 John chapter 3, verses 14 through the end of the chapter, it makes it very plain that as you begin to understand grace through faith, and you understand the love of God, and you begin to participate in his love, that what winds up happening is that level of timidity and that scrutinizing fear and torment gets put away because love grows. So this is what it's talking about here. Abba, look what it says. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Now, say, Pastor Tim, what does it mean? Don't ask me right now, because that's one of those mind-boggling things. But it's beautiful, and I accept it. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Now, Romans chapter 8, in just a few weeks, as we're jumping in and we're going to see more detail in 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to be able to understand better what he's saying here to this group of people about the sufferings. I just want to say that we spent a detailed amount of time studying Jesus' teaching from Matthew on the Sermon on the Mount. If you weren't here with us during that, we discussed week after week that Jesus was and is still trying to get all of our attention to help us understand that our hearts, our souls, and our minds are desperately in need of cleansing. Every one of us. Jesus was taking on the religious establishment that had all these rules. We've talked about the 600 and some rules, guidelines, laws that they had. And people were comparing their righteousness, all these works that they were doing. And Jesus was constantly trying to get people's attention, just like he is ours, to let us know we're in desperately need of cleansing. We, by our own natural sinful state, are naturally alienated from God. We are naturally outside of his family. You can say, if you want to just say generically, we're all God's children from creation. Yes, that's true. But on an intimate personal relationship, all of us are naturally alienated from God because of our sinful state. The law was given to us as a schoolmaster. What does that mean? A measuring stick. It was to show us, to help us understand that we are by nature separated from God because, yes, he created us, but he's trying to show us our hearts. Jesus came to reveal God's love for us. even as it says in Romans, even while we were yet in our sins, Christ died for us to make a way for us to be adopted. For us to be adopted, to be born again, which they are synonymous. In the series of Chosen, I don't know if you've watched that, but I just get a kick out of, if you haven't watched it, you need to pull it up and just get caught up multiple seasons. But I just go back to some of these first glimpses in season one. And I get a glimpse of all these adult children. So I want to give you this picture that I sort of look at all these people in The Chosen as this group of adult children that are sort of in foster care. So think of all these people, if you've ever watched it, all these people that are Jews and Gentiles are all kind of in foster care. And Jesus is walking around and he's adopting, literally, he's offering adoption to all these different types of people. And I get the biggest kick out of Peter interacting with Jesus over Matthew. If you haven't seen it, you have to go check it out. I just think it's hilarious because just Matthew annoys Peter terribly. And so what I get the biggest kick out of, now these are my words, it doesn't say this in the movie, but it's like Peter is saying, why would you adopt a kid like Matthew? Don't you understand that he's betrayed his people? He is selfish. And to be honest, I don't even like him. But if you think about it, Jesus is showing us that the family of God is filled with every type of person from every tribe and tongue. Father God wants to adopt anyone who will believe. This is the power of the gospel message. So if you're sitting here today and you say, Tim, I hear what you're saying, but you don't know, I don't need to know. Because the scripture makes it very plain, if you will believe, he will respond and forgive. If you will trust, he will meet you there because God is still in the business of adopting anyone who will believe. Most adoptions from the foster care system are not this like incredibly painless, beautiful, easy transition. Tons of love and patience are needed over a long period of time to reinforce the value and the importance of the adopted child. Some of you on a human level with God, you got what I just said. Those of most of us that have been adopted are still in the process of learning to trust our Father and his great love for us. You know, most of the conversations that my wife and I have with people in this church family, people outside this church family in our community, we can talk about words and phrases real easily, but most of us, when it comes down to it, we really have a hard time understanding that God loves us and that we can trust him, or let me say it this way, learning to trust his love toward us. Because let's be honest, we've all been in the foster care system. Most of us have been deeply hurt along the way. The other problem is that most of us, oftentimes, our hurts are self-inflicted. We hurt ourselves. And what this church family should represent is that all of us come together and we're able to help one another in the process of learning our new family and our new family dynamics. A lot of people, when they come in here, especially from my position and my vantage point, a lot of you are just waiting for me to point my finger at you or to throw judgment or condemnation, some type of spiritual ridicule over you and where you think you're not. I constantly have people at our house and they open up and I have the privilege of modeling love and embrace and forgiveness And I'm able to just come alongside of people. And you know why I do it? Because I'm like, I am you. I understand. We are all in the same battle. And I'm able to extend grace because, yes, I have a different responsibility, but I'm no better than anybody else. So we have to learn this new family unit. And then even though when we come in damaged, it's not easy to learn to embrace God's love or even to live in community with other people and to have his love is at the forefront of what we do. This brings us back to the concept of inheritance. Not only do we get to be born again into this beautiful adoption, but we are given a holy inheritance. This inheritance is in a holding. It's kept secured and it's being guarded in the grandest safety deposit box ever. Heaven. Nobody's going to come in and rewrite the will. Nobody's come in and rewrite the contract. Nobody's going to change the terms of our inheritance. It is guarded in heaven by Father and the angelic beings that we have a heavenly inheritance. Can't tell that far from you. We have heavenly documentation like a will that guarantees our inheritance from Father God. Just like adoption, we don't earn it, but rather it's a gift from Father once we become his sons and daughters. Did you hear what I just said? The beautiful thing about foster care and adoption is we can see in most cases this incredible love. The kids don't, there's not this merit system for adoption. Even though certain people may be looking at certain things, there's no merit system for adoption. Somebody says, I'm going to invest, I'm going to love, I'm going to open up my heart, I'm going to open up my life, and I'm going to do my best to give you a home, to give you an environment, to give you a situation that proclaims that you are worthy, that you are loved, that you matter. Who does that the best? Father God. But just like when kids come into an adoption situation from foster care and there's been a lot of hurt, the process of learning to experience that love, to embrace that safety, it doesn't just happen at the flick of a switch because documents are signed. Our inheritance, let me give you three words. I just want to remind you, our inheritance is never earned. It's a gift. By grace through faith. Our inheritance, I'm going to give you three words. You can look it up. I'm not going to spend time on them, but I'm going to throw them out there. Our inheritance is imperishable. Think about what that word means. It's undefiled. There's nothing perverted. It's holy. It's undefiled and it's unfading. This living hope creates a supernatural hope for the future. We can anticipate a mind-boggling future because a supernatural inheritance that is eternal. In the life to come, even after death, this salvation just keeps getting better. Because he's saying that in the future, this inheritance, when it's revealed, you're getting a taste of your salvation right now. But in the end, when our salvation is presented to us, we're just going to be like, blown away. We think we have an idea. We don't have an idea. But the beautiful thing about this inheritance, you know what's so cool? It's not like something that we're just waiting till then. This inheritance that we have, we get to participate in it right now. And what it does is it creates a hope for the future. And this hope for the future, because we have this living hope and we have this inheritance, now we get to participate. We get, it's not like God says, okay, Judy, you've got this inheritance, and it's just something for later on that's being deposited. The scripture teaches that we get to participate. We get glimpses of it now. We get part of our inheritance now. And what it does is it creates this living hope within us, a hope for the future. And let me just say this. We don't need to look at the future. Please hear me, brothers and sisters. Through the lens of anxiety, unrest, confusion, or fear. It's a living hope. And as children in a normal home respond to leadership love and the guardianship of loving parents, so must we yield to the control of an incredible Father in heaven who has loved us, he's adopted us, and he has given us this incredible inheritance, not just for the future, but we get to get glimpses of it. We get deposits of it now. The amazing part, and we don't have time to consider it this morning, is just what I said. We get to dip into our inheritance now. He gives us part of that now, while we're alive. Now, I want to just be careful. Some of you need to be careful with false teachers. I'm not talking about we get to dip into the inheritance now, and if we will do these things, then, Greg, I can promise you, man, Maserati is around the corner. Some of you are like, I'm in. Man, your house square footage. No, because here's the thing. This inheritance is not about all this stuff and that we make it naturally as human beings. Our inheritance is this internal blessing, these internal riches. When he says grace and peace, it's from the inside out. Our inheritance is immediately wrapped in relationship with Father God, his Son, and the work of his Holy Spirit, so that our inheritance is an inside out experience. We should be learning, just as Peter was learning, to embrace a living hope that creates a hope for the future. I just got two questions for you this morning. Are you embracing your adoption, your sonship, or your daughtership in Jesus Christ? Some of you are like, Pastor Tim, daughtership is not a word. It is too. I just used it. Your sonship or your daughtership in Christ. What does that mean to you? Do you understand the riches of being adopted into Father God, creator of the universe, his family? What does your sonship or your daughtership mean? Does your inheritance that's being guarded and kept in heaven, that you get to dabble with now and experience, can I ask you, does it affect the way you view your life right now? I hope you understand, CJ is really us. Let's stand and sing together.